Blog Talk Radio.
If you and I have the courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know in our hearts is morally right. Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
I am the voice of the voiceless.
Hey, everybody. I hope you can hear me out there. I guess my speakers are on and everything. Just trying to make a little adjustment here. Okay. Anyway, hello, everybody. You're listening to Radio Free Connecticut on 1650 AM. Here in the Bridgeport, Connecticut, Stratford, City Line area, for about a couple miles here, anyway. And this is a pre-election special, a Liberty Voice with Matt Bowman. This is our weekly, as it is scheduled, political show. And we'll be going for about 30 minutes tonight. And it's his call-in show, the call-in number to discuss anything in the world of politics. It is 646-668-8944, 646-668-8944. Doing this show tonight from Blog Talk Radio, and we'll be on air with this show for the next 30 minutes or so. I was going to be on last night doing some stuff, but things have gotten busy in the last few days, so I've kind of had to cancel a few shows on the Radio Free Connecticut station here. And up until election day, as full disclosure, I'm a campaign volunteer. Okay, it looks like I'm reconnected to the Skype stream here. Had a little technical difficulties. I guess you heard some music there. But anyway, this is Radio Free Connecticut, Liberty's Voice with Matt Boland for November 5th, 2016, a pre-election special. And the guest calling number is 646-668-8944, if you want to talk about me. 646-668-8944. And so, let's get into the big elections and news and projections for them. Is it not going to play a sound? A sound play. Anyway, no, the sounds don't seem to play tonight. Unless... trying to multitask here to people, sorry. But the sounds aren't playing tonight, so there you go. Anyway, here's news from the presidential election going on. As you know, 270 electoral votes are required to win the presidential election. And it's becoming close in a few states, closer than I thought. About 141 electoral votes look like they're going to be up for grabs in these close states. And the states that are close right now between Clinton and Trump are Nevada, which has 6 electoral votes, Arizona, 11. Florida, the big state of Florida, 29 electoral votes. In North Carolina, 15 electoral votes are up for grabs. Then you have Georgia with 16, New Hampshire with 4, Iowa with 6, Ohio is competitive, and that state has 18 electoral votes, Pennsylvania 20, Colorado 9, New Mexico 5, and Maine 4, including a couple of congressional districts up there. It's a little different up there. But the latest polling from these states, let me tell you what's going on. Trump has made things a little bit closer. Right now, I'm thinking, here are my projections for these close states. I think that Donald Trump will win Nevada, the 6 electoral votes there, the 11 in Arizona, 15 in North Carolina, Georgia 16, then New Hampshire's 4, Iowa 6, and the big 18 in the state of Ohio. As for Hillary Clinton, I think she will, unfortunately, take the state of Florida and also Pennsylvania with their 20 electoral votes, the 9 in Colorado, the 5 in New Mexico, and I think she'll also take the 4 electoral votes that are held by the state of Maine. And so here's my projection. Just a couple days before the election, with the close states going as I think they will, Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine, Governor Tim Kaine of Virginia, 298. Donald Trump and Mike Pence of Indiana, 240. Gary Johnson and Governor William Weld of Massachusetts, 0. So it's going to be a little closer. But in my humble opinion, we will have Hillary Clinton as our president-elect come Wednesday morning. That's unfortunate. But the number to call here is 646-668-8944. 646-668-8944 if you're in the area or listening live to us on the internet. I'm multitasking a little bit here, but gonna let a couple of my buddies on Facebook know that I'm on the air. Jeremy from Oregon calls in sometimes. So, shout out to him. I'm getting a message here. I think somebody's trying to write to me. I have more than a few politically inclined friends that are usually on. Let's see if I can get to any of it. Should have done this before, but I'm totally multitasking right now, and I'm not the greatest yet. So, that's what you're probably hearing at the moment. Let's talk a little bit about, if I can bring it up, some of the, while I'm focusing on Connecticut here tonight, the state of Connecticut, and the situation in our state is that we're not doing too well economically. And that's because the Democrats are taxing us up the wazoo and spending like there's no tomorrow. And so they have a majority in both chambers of the Connecticut General Assembly, which is the state house and state senate. It's called the General Assembly around here. And for 40 years, they've pretty much dominated statewide politics. It's like a one-party system instead of two parties, just one-party control. And so I'm hoping things will change this year. We've got a very good chance to take a majority in the state senate. 36 seats are up there. Let me tell you about some of the notable races here. In District 13 of the Connecticut State Senate, we have Democrat Dante Bartolomeo, I think is how you pronounce that, against Republican Len Susio, and that district covers pretty much the city of Meriden. I'm thinking Susio has a good chance to win there. In the cities of Ansonia and Beacon Falls, that's District 17, we have an interestingly named Democrat here, Joseph Crisco. I was saying to somebody today, his slogan should be, get cooking with Crisco. Not to give him any ideas, but... And the Republican is George Logan. Crisco is the incumbent there, as most incumbents in the state of Connecticut are indeed Democrats. But incumbent Joseph Crisco going up against Republican challenger George Logan. And I'm thinking that seat might go Republican. Then you have one of the really interesting races here, a woman who ran for lieutenant governor last time on a ticket with Ambassador Tom Colton, the Republican ticket that lost. Heather Somers of Groton is going up against the incumbent in District 18, Democrat Timothy Bowles, and I really think Somers will take that seat. In the 29th district, we have another Democrat incumbent, May Flexer, versus John French is the Republican challenger. And that district covers pretty much the city of Windham, the town of Windham up in northern Connecticut. Also, some really small towns like Killingly. And I also believe that that particular seat will go Republican as well. And in my district, District 28, the 28th district of the Connecticut State Senate, we have a very popular and well-liked Republican incumbent here, Tony Wong, who you might have heard me talk to, like, if you were following me in the past year or so. But he covers the towns of Fairfield, Weston, Newtown, and parts of Westport, as well as the Sandy Hook area. And he's a really good Republican politician, very principled. And he will be taking on Democratic challenger Philip Dwyer. And I guess I shouldn't call that seat make my prediction there, because I don't want to jinx the Republican here. As my brother says, a lot of times I can end up as the kiss of death. So I don't want to jinx the Republican here. So no call in that, no prediction in that race, right? but it's going to be a Democratic challenger, Phil Dwyer, against Republican incumbent Tony Wong. And here's my projection for control of the Connecticut State Senate. At the moment, the Democrats have the majority there, 21 to 15. I think after election night, it'll be 19 seats for the Republicans and 17 for the Democrats, which means the Republican Party will take the majority in the state Senate for the first time in many years. I think there's a very good chance that's going to happen. Let's see. A couple of my friends on right now. Let's see if I can get some people to come on. Checking out Chuck from, I think he's from Indiana or Minnesota or Iowa. I don't know. What's up? And then we got my friend Adam from somewhere up there on the Great White North, I think. Canada, maybe? I don't know. Not quite sure about him. Okay, so moving on. And this show, by the way, is just your basic election projections and election news. And so, news from the Connecticut State Senate. I believe the Republicans will take the majority there after election night, 19 to 17. But I'm crossing my fingers, and we'll see what happens. Okay, we've got about, oh, wow. This time has flown by in this 30-minute episode. And the guest call-in number, if you want to get in for the next 9.5 minutes, is 646-668-8944. 646-668-8944. Some important seats in the U.S. Senate up for grabs this year. Marco Rubio, the Republican down in Florida, defending his seat against Democrat Patrick Murphy. And my thoughts on Patrick Murphy is basically, well, knowing him as I did, living down there for a while, he's basically this spoiled rich kid who got the seat because he got like his father's inheritance, and he bought the seat pretty much. So, money in politics. There you go. But the Senate seat that is up for grabs here in Connecticut is a solid Democrat seat. Both of our Senate seats belong to the Democrats now. Incumbent Richard Blumenthal, the guy who I call Dick. But is defending his seat against Republican challenger Dan Carter. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but I think Blumenthal has the seat retained. So, and I don't know, but last I checked, I was doing the math, and I think it's going to be close in the Senate. Maybe even 50-50. Which means whoever the vice president is after election night, the vice president-elect, would cast the deciding vote at any time. And right now, according to my projection, that person will be Democrat Tim Kaine. So the Democrats will have majority control of the U.S. Senate. And I think in the House, the Republicans will retain control. And as for the U.S. House, the big race going on in Connecticut, well, one of the big races, is Democratic incumbent Jim Hines here in the 4th District He's defending against Republican challenger John Chafin, who I've met and been working for a little bit. And this fourth district covers the Bridgeport Fairfield area, down to about Norwalk in the west, the southwestern part of Fairfield County here. I'm not sure if Chafin can make it close, but I'm hoping he can. And in other races, just got a few minutes here, so let me tell you about some of the other notable races going on for the State House, Connecticut House of Representatives, the General Assembly. And just to point out, the next big race in Connecticut, the next big year will be 2018, when Governor Dan Malloy will be up for re-election if he wants to. And personally, on Dan Malloy, I call him Moron Malloy, because he is totally the worst governor in the nation, in my opinion. He's terrible. We're in bad economic shape. He didn't even try to get General Electric to stay here. The Democrats up in Hartford just said, oh, they're not serious about leaving. Guess what? They left. So there you go. Anyway, here are some of the notable races here. In the 38th district of the Connecticut State House, we have Sharon Palmer, a Democrat. It's a three-way race, in fact. Sharon Palmer, Democrat, against Republican Kathleen McCarthy and a Green Party candidate, Lawrence Shaw. And the 38th district of the Connecticut State House pretty much covers the area around Waterford, Connecticut. That's down by just west of Rhode Island. And so that's the race there. In the New London area, District 41, we have Democrat Joe De La Cruz, the incumbent, going up against Republican challenger Andre Baumgartner. I have no polling data for these races, so I'm just listing off what some of the big ones are here. In the 110th district, around Danbury, Connecticut, the western part of Fairfield County, northwest, we have a Democratic incumbent, Bob Godfrey, going up against Republican challenger Emanuela Pomares. In the West Haven area, the 117th district, it's Republican incumbent Charles Ferraro against Democratic challenger Sean Ronan. And in these three districts, which I'm going to mention right now, and these are the districts in my area of Fairfield, the 132nd, 133rd, and 134th districts. In the 132nd, the incumbent is Republican Brenda Kupchick, a very nice woman, very principled, a fighter. She's going up against a Democratic challenger, Drew Georgiadis, I think is how you pronounce the name. In the 133rd, you have the Democratic incumbent there, Kristen McCarthy-Vagy. And the Republican challenger is Ray Newberg. I know him very well. I've campaigned with him. He's actually a pretty young guy, younger than I am. And he has my full support in that race. He's going to bring new blood and new ideas to the State House. And so I definitely hope he wins there. And another Republican I support, Laura Devlin, an incumbent, is going up against Democratic challenger Fred Garrity in the 134th district. And she also has my support. We've got about 2 minutes, so I'll make this short and sweet. 151 seats are up this year in the House, the State House in Connecticut, part of the General Assembly here. At the moment, the Democrats have the majority, 86-64, with one vacancy that will probably be filled by the Democrats. Unless the rule is different and we have to have a special election. But here is, I think the Democrats will retain the majority in the state house after election night, 81-70. So the Republicans will win a few seats, but I think the Democrats retain the majority in the state house. And we have about maybe 60 seconds to go. So I hope you've been listening in lately. I'm 1650 AM, Radio Free Connecticut, in the Bridgeport-Stratford City Line area. And we're going to sign off here for the night. With about 40 seconds left in this show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back probably Wednesday night with more music, election recaps, and everything else that we do. For now, this is Maddie B and Matt Bowman signing off. Thanks for listening to Liberty's Voice with Matt Bowman. November 5th, pre-election special. See you later, everyone. I wonder if I can get my outro.
If you and I have the courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know in our hearts is morally right.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.